Well, I was born a coal miner's daughter in a cabin on a hill in Butcher Holler. We were poor, but we had love. That's the one thing that Daddy made sure of. He shoveled coal to make a poor man's dollar.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Alec McGillis, who's a senior editor at The New Republic, serving as the magazine's chief correspondent for the 2012 campaign. Previously, he spent 5 years at The Washington Post covering politics and domestic policy, and also wrote for The Baltimore Sun. He has an article at The New Republic, Coal Miner's Donor, a Mitt Romney Benefactor, and His Surprisingly Generous Employees. Welcome to Background Briefing, Alec McGillis.
Thank you.
And your article has clearly had an effect here because the Ohio Democratic Party has requested a criminal investigation into the Ohio-based company Murray Energy for allegedly coercing their employees to appear as a backdrop to a Romney rally in Ohio. They're charging Murray with extortion, money laundering, racketeering, and other violations of Title 18 of the U.S. Criminal Code. What do you think their chances are?
Well, the law in this area is pretty clear, but then there's some gray area around it. Basically, the law says that you cannot, as an employer, you cannot force your employees to contribute to political campaigns. You cannot make that a condition of employment that your workers give to a campaign or to your company political action committee. You also cannot reimburse employees for contributions that they make to the candidates that you wanted them to give to. So that's pretty clear, but then there's a lot of gray area around that having to do with, you know, how do you define forcing, how do you define reimbursing, and so it's probably going to take, someone with, it's going to take investigators looking at this matter, I think, to figure out if there were violations here. What I was able to report simply was that that I had sources, company sources, telling me that there was indeed a lot of pressure coming down from the top of the company to employees, urging them to give money to the company PAC and to various national candidates, including Mitt Romney, and also telling me that there was some understanding that the money that they would be spending on this would be made up to them somehow. I was able to back this up with documents from the company, from inside the company, letters from Mr. Murray to employees showing, urging them in very strong terms to give to candidates and to the company PAC, and even some tables and spreadsheets showing how the various company subsidiaries were doing in their participation in the fundraisers, and even a list of employees who were not allegedly not giving, these various ways of putting pressure on people, saying, look, we know who's giving and who's not giving, and you need to step it up.
Well, Alec McGillis, the fact that in the 2010 election, the year that John Boehner became House Speaker, Murray Energy and its 3,000 employees and their families were the second biggest source of funds to John Boehner's campaign. So, AT&T being in first place with its nearly 200,000 employees. So, the idea that 3,000 employees could almost match 200,000 employees of AT&T, something's working there, isn't it, at Murray Energy for the Republicans?
Oh, certainly. This is the Murray Energy has just been a remarkably big source of contributions for the Republicans for some time now. It's John Boehner, it's Mitt Romney, it's Rick Perry's presidential campaign, and it's really Senate candidates from around the country who have all come through this little town in eastern Ohio for these fundraisers, where they just pick up a whole bunch of checks from these mostly middle manager, salaried employees of Murray Energy, and it's truly remarkable how. What an outsized source of contributions Murray Energy has become for a relatively small company in a relatively out-of-the-way part of the country.
Well, Alec McGillis, I saw the actual event live where you had this phalanx of these surly-looking miners. They didn't look too happy. Mitt Romney striding on the stage in front of them, and they were essentially props. And Mitt Romney said at this rally, turning to the miners, "I tell you, you've got a great boss," acknowledging Robert Murray from the stage, and he runs a great operation here. Now, Murray came to my attention back in, and I think a lot of Americans' attention, back in 2007 with the collapse of the Crandall Canyon mine in Utah, where he became a sort of overnight media celebrity, if you will, CNN, and everybody gave him a lot of air time as this nice, avuncular guy who really cared about these people. And then we started to learn, in fact, that he's pretty ruthless and cavalier with the lives of his employees, that the Crandall mine, the inspectors tried to shut it. It was an old mine that had already been depleted and shut down, but he was essentially coming back as a scavenger to get a little bit extra out of it. And as we know, nine people died trapped below, and they've never been recovered.
Right. No, it's quite striking that Mitt Romney would have chosen Murray Energy as the company that he was going to use as his backdrop for this big event attacking Barack Obama as anti-coal. I mean, as you said, the Crandall Canyon was a pretty awful event, and in fact, just last week or the week before, Murray Energy was fined, I believe, $1 million for that event. They've also been fined more recently as well for various Clean Water Act violations in Ohio, quite a lot of money in that case. And then there's a list of other things you could point to as well, labor issues and whatnot. And then you wonder, gosh, why is Mitt Romney using them as his big ally in coal country, especially given that Mitt Romney was just a few years ago himself quite critical of coal. It was in 2003, I believe, that Romney stood outside a coal-fired plant just north of Boston and declared that he was going to shut the plant down because it was, quote, killing people. So it's for Romney now to be, building such a bond, visible bond with Murray Energy is quite striking, and it's a sign both of how much Romney feels like he needs to take a pro coal line to win in places like Ohio. It's also a sign, though, of just how valuable a fundraiser Bob Murray and Murray Energy have been. That there's a feeling among a lot of Republicans, including Mitt Romney, that he's someone that needs to be somehow recognized or repaid in some sense.
Now, Murray of Murray Energy has always been incredibly hostile towards government oversight and towards mine inspectors. He apparently, according to local media, you've written here that he warned off mine safety inspectors with the line that Mitch McConnell, this is during the Bush administration, Mitch McConnell calls me one of the five finest men in America, and the last I checked, he was sleeping with your boss, referring to Labor Secretary Elaine Chao, the senator's wife. Now, in his letters that you got hold of, he talks about we've got to get rid of the destructive Barack Obama and his Democrat supporters. I love the way they use the word Democrat supporters, who are Hollywood characters, liberal elitists, radical environmentalists, unionists, and Americans who do not want to work. Colorful language, but I think it pretty clearly indicates his attitude, right?
Oh yeah, he has always been anti-Democrat or Democratic, as one might say. But he's in the last few years, he has just really ratcheted it up a lot more because he just cannot abide Barack Obama. He really, his contempt for Obama is just very visible. He has signs. There are signs all around Murray Properties, you know, decrying Obama. There's a sign up in the lobby of the mine where that event was held, telling miners where they can call to get anti-Obama lawn signs. When you talk to Bob Murray or to others at the company, as they see it, Barack Obama and his administration are totally responsible for the troubles that the coal industry has had in the last few years. They don't want to hear about other explanations, such as this new abundance of cheap natural gas that's providing real competition for coal, and or something like the slowdown in the Chinese economy, which is also hurting the coal industry because they've come to export a lot of coal to China. As they see it, it's just Obama and the environmental regulations clamping down on coal.
Well, apparently Murray is a climate change denier, which I think is not an inconvenient truth. It's a convenient truth for him, right?
Right.
Given what his business is. But I'm always astounded at how much and I'm sure you've noticed, Alec McGillis, that the coal industry and it's the coal lobby, along with the oil and gas lobby. They underwrite most of the public affairs programs on PBS and on CNN, for example, on MSNBC. I imagine they do the same on Fox. A lot of the political talk shows, the Sunday morning shows, are underwritten by coal and oil and gas companies. But in the case of the ads that Big Coal is running, which clearly are not friendly towards the Obama administration and are somewhat apocalyptic about how, these people, I think they actually show a subliminal clip of the Occupy Wall Street people saying, you know, we've had enough rhetoric, but let's deal with reality here. We need energy and we need clean coal. Now, as far as I know, clean coal is one of the biggest lies out there, along with safe cigarettes. The fact of the matter is that clean coal, not $1 from Murray and the coal industry has ever gone into clean coal. Not $1. They keep saying that it exists, but the only work that was ever done on so-called clean coal was during the Carter administration, I understand. It was all done by the U.S. government. And it's simply, I mean, let me ask you, do you know what clean coal is? Can you?
Well, I do know what it is, and you've raised a very good point, which is that it means completely different things in these two contexts. In reality, and specifically clean coal, if there is such a thing as clean coal, it is the attempt to that is, you know, has been ongoing for a while now in certain plants and certain trial locations to basically do carbon sequester and storage, which is to somehow sequester the emissions from coal-fired plants and store them underground. This is very expensive. It's unclear if it's even doable, but there are attempts out there to see if this can be done. As you said, these attempts are government subsidized. Both here and in other countries, and that's not really what the coal industry is talking about when they've got their billboards up about clean coal. They have taken that phrase clean coal, and they've sort of taken it to mean something much broader and vaguer, which is just somehow a vague notion that coal can be made clean. And I guess if you wanted to give them a good faith benefit of the doubt, I suppose they could be talking about the fact that coal plants have been cleaned up in the last few years in terms of emissions other than pollutants, other than carbon. We have better scrubbers now for sulfur and whatnot. But as far as carbon emissions, global warming emissions, coal is very much not clean, and the only efforts that are being made to make it clean are these very limited government-subsidized projects that may not come to anything.
And as you pointed out earlier, Alec McGillis, what's really happening in the market is there's an enormous amount of natural gas coming online because largely from fracking. And it's driving the price down of natural gas. And since natural gas is pollutes over 50% less, does it not, than coal, or considerably less than coal?
Far, far, far lower carbon emissions. Yeah. And coal's plummeted. Coal was just a few years ago, coal was providing half of our energy, for electric generation in the country. And in that number, I haven't checked just in the last few weeks, but it's down around 40 now, maybe even lower than 40. And so they're really kind of panicking about this. The irony sort of is that the fracking boom is happening in some cases it's happening in the same regions as the coal decline. So you in a place like southeastern Ohio, you'll have coal mines shrinking somewhat, and coal employment shrinking somewhat at the same time as you have these other fracking operations picking up speed. But in most cases, these are separate companies, separate operations. So you'll hear Murray Energy talking about, crying that the sky is falling at the same time as you've got other operations not far away that are starting to go gangbusters.
Well, just in closing, Alec McGillis, I find it pretty extraordinary that an employer like Charles Murray can coerce his employees into supporting his particular political causes, not necessarily theirs, and they do so because he tells them not that they're going to lose their job so much that if they don't do it, Obama's going to put coal out of business, and that's why they're going to lose their job. Some apparently have approached local media, some of the miners that are coerced into that photo opportunity, and said that they were they had to lose a day's pay and were threatened if they didn't do it. I just find that kind of futile. I mean, how could the laws be so ambiguous about this? Isn't there something fundamentally wrong with that?
Again, I'll have to leave it to others to decide whether laws are violated here. I do think that you use the word wrong, and I think that's probably what a lot of people take from this, that it just seems kind of wrong that people could be pressured like this. And you're right, there is something quite old-fashioned or archaic, really, about this whole situation. In this part of the country, it does remind you of another era, really. The dominance that Robert Murray has in southeastern Ohio is like from another time. He's proud of it. In fact, he's proud of the extent to which people really there do depend on him for jobs and their livelihoods, and it's paternalism in both the good and the bad senses of that. At the rally that they had for Romney, the big Romney rally where all the miners were expected to attend, they had free hot dogs and sodas for the miners' families. They even had a bunch of little amusement park rides set up for the kids. It's a world that Bob Murray really kind of rules over and rules over proudly. He's proud of knowing all of his miners' names. He always wants to introduce all of his employees to all his visiting Republican candidates. There's something almost kind of grandfatherly about his presence at this rally. But it does come with this real pressure on the political front.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Alec McGillis.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Alec McGillis, who's a senior editor at The New Republic, serving as the magazine's chief correspondent for the 2012 campaign. Previously, he spent 5 years at The Washington Post covering politics and domestic policy and wrote for The Baltimore Sun. He has an article at The New Republic, Coal Miner's Donor, A Mitt Romney Benefactor and His Surprisingly Generous Employees. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producers Michelle Manas and Tariq Mohammed. This program is available for streaming and podcasting at ianmasters.com, where we welcome your comments, and the conversation continues online at facebook.com/ianmastersmedia. And I'll be back again with another Background Briefing Bye for now.
Time.